Welcome back to Goal Line Stuff, the show where we talk about anything and everything football related. I'm Alex Kyorkchief.
And I'm Michael San Antonio. And boy, do we have a show for you today. So, Super Wildcard Weekend is officially over. A lot of good things happened. I went 3 for 6 on my picks. Alex, you went
4 for 6, but not really. I'll explain that later, but not really.
Yeah. So, I mean, we both did pretty good. I mean, I hit on, 50% of my picks. Alex, a little bit more than that. I think we could have done better, both of us, but we both predicted that, some upsets would happen. We talked last episode about how this year there's not as many elite teams. Most of the teams are just pretty good, and a lot of the teams this year have been pretty inconsistent. So, that can make way for some of these lower seeds to maybe upset some of these better teams and higher seeds, but that didn't quite happen. There was only one upset, I believe, right, Alex? One upset, and that was the,
if you consider that an upset, I don't.
It is an upset. You're one of the only people who doesn't think it's an upset.
But I literally predicted it last episode.
Yeah,
Dallas simply stinks.
Okay, yeah, Dallas did not look good, and there was that whole fiasco with Dak running the ball with like what 14 seconds left.
And then, I was cackling at the TV.
He doesn't slide until he's like, there's like 4 or 5 seconds left on the clock. And then,
and then the ref runs into him. It was so funny.
That was ridiculous. But yeah, that was the only game that was technically an upset. I know you think that Dallas is the worst team there, but the Niners were the only team who pulled off an upset, and that was kind of surprising. I think both of us thought that there was more potential for one of the other lower seeds to pull off an upset, but still, I think it was a pretty good Super Wildcard Weekend, and I think it makes way for some really good divisional games. But first, I think we should just go into in-depth on each wildcard game, talk about what we saw, what happened, if it, went with the things that we were predicting would happen. And so I think let's just start off with the Raiders and Bengals game. I had the Raiders in this one and you had the Bengals, Alex. And as you know, I mean, the Bengals won this game. What do you think was the reason why they beat the Raiders in this one?
I'd say it was the defense, because the offense kind of kept coming up short. They kicked a few field goals and the Raiders were in a position to score at the end of the game, but ultimately, the defense got the crucial turnover there. They held strong, but the offense just didn't look as explosive as you would want it to, especially against a team with a pretty weak defense like the Raiders. Once you have to start playing against teams like the Titans they're playing against this week, I don't know that the Bengals are going to be able to keep up unless they get like really hot the way they tend to do, like they did against Kansas City or Baltimore, until they go supernova like they did against those teams. If they don't do that, I don't think they can beat someone like a Tennessee.
I disagree, but we'll get to that a little bit later. But yeah, no, I do agree with you there, though, that defense was really what did it. I think the Bengals and the Raiders are pretty evenly matched teams. They both have been a little inconsistent this year. I think the Raiders have been a little bit more consistent, but the Bengals really, when they get hot, they're almost unstoppable. And then when they play normally, they're just kind of a good team who, I think when their defense plays good, they usually win. And Trey Hendrickson was incredible. If you watch that game, coming off the right side, he had that strip sack. He had a couple, crucial pressures. He was great. I think he was one of the main contributors to that win for the Bengals. And, they only won by a touchdown. It was looking like the Raiders maybe had a shot to come back and score, but didn't quite happen. I still think it's pretty remarkable that they even made it that far, considering everything that happened this year. I mean, you agree, Alex.
Yeah,
did you think the Raiders were going to make the playoffs with everything going on?
No, but that was the thing about the Raiders coming into the playoffs. I feel like they were kind of out of juice, Like, that Chargers game, winning that and making the playoffs, that was kind of, like, their big thing this season. And, that was their goal, essentially. They weren't ever going to make the Super Bowl. They weren't ever going to go deep into the playoffs. I wouldn't have been surprised to see them beat Cincinnati, but past that, they wouldn't have done anything.
I completely agree. And having them beating Cincinnati was kind of a hot take, in my opinion. I just didn't think the Bengals were going to play that well in this game. But they proved me wrong. They played well, and I like them going forward. I mean, we'll see. We'll get into some predictions for divisional a little bit later after we go over these wildcard games. But that's pretty much all I have to say about that Bengals-Raiders game. Also, Ja'Marr Chase had a huge game. I believe he had double-digit catches.
No, I think it was like 9 for 120 or something.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But he was just making plays all over the field. And if he can continue to do that, that offense would pretty much just keep going if him and Mixon get the ball in their hands. So, yeah, we'll have to see how they do against Tennessee. Like I said, we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Amazing what happens when you force feed your first round rookie receiver the ball.
I know.
I think some other teams could learn from that.
Eagles, yeah. Nick Sirianni, listen here. Take some lessons. But anyway, next game, Patriots versus Bills. This one was just not entertaining if you're not a Bills fan. You know, it was just a blowout. But it was pretty much a perfect game from Josh Allen. The Bills scored 7 straight touchdowns on 7 possessions. I believe they didn't putt at all. I mean, it was just like
– probably at the end they did. But there goes that Belichick defense.
Yeah.
Got shredded. And, I mean, it wasn't as close as I expected it to be. I still had Buffalo winning by like 2 scores, I think is what I said in last week's episode, but even I didn't expect it to be that bad. 30-point blowout where they put up 50 on them. It's just, I knew that New England didn't have the firepower on offense to keep up with Buffalo, and they needed their defense to do well, and their defense probably had the worst game of the season, and there was just no way that New England could win scoring 17 points.
Yep. And, you know, one thing I've been saying all year was that I haven't been high on the Bills because their offense hasn't looked like 2020 Bills offense.
Until last week.
Their defense has been pretty good. Josh Allen's obviously a great quarterback, but he's had sort of a down year. The offense hasn't quite, you know, until now, it hasn't quite, you know, picked up the pace that it's needed to, in my opinion, for the Bills to be that Super Bowl contender that everybody was saying they were. But they have Singletary, who's running like I've never seen him run before. He looks great. I'm surprised too. Josh Allen played one of the best games I've seen him play, and he's had a lot of good games. So if Josh Allen can continue to play like that, the Bills are going to be competing with every team in the playoffs, no matter what. Like, I think the Bills could beat anybody. So we'll just have to see. I mean, I don't think he'll keep up quite that level of play, but that was incredible. And especially against, you know, like we said, the Patriots have a great defense, or at least they usually do.
Allegedly, they have a great defense.
The defense has been pretty good this year. Not quite as good as like past years, but it was a top 5 defense this year. So for the Bills to do that against them, it was pretty impressive, in my opinion.
They played bad teams all year, though. That's the thing with the Patriots. And then once they started to play actual teams at the end of the year, they had Buffalo before their bye, but that was that wind game where neither team could pass the ball. So they won that game, and it was low scoring. That was the only way the Patriots were going to win the game. And then after the bye, they had Indianapolis, who put up 27 on them. They had Buffalo, who put up 33 on them, which that game was like a lighter version of the playoff game as far as the two teams' performances go, I'd say. And then they had Miami, who put up 33 on them at the end of the year. So you kind of saw it get exposed at the end once they started playing some actual decent caliber offensive teams.
Yeah, no, I do get what you're saying. But, I mean, at the same time, they did hold Tennessee to 13 points. They held Tampa Bay when Tampa Bay was, you know, healthy week 4 to 19 points. Were they, though? They were healthy. Week 4, they were pretty healthy. You know, I do get what you're saying. Towards the end of the year, once they started playing some better teams, they started to shut down. But this was still a top 5 defense, in my opinion, this year. Just play-wise, I they did have an easier schedule. I will give you that. That point is correct. But I just want to say, I mean, I'm just saying that I think Josh Allen's performance is even more impressive considering how good this defense has played this year. You know, 47 points is a lot of points to put up against any defense, let alone a Bill Belichick run defense. So props to Josh Allen for that. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I've been big on Josh Allen for the last 2 years. I had the Bills going to the Super Bowl before this season, and can't say I necessarily agree with that now, but I'd say they'd be my second favorite in the AFC to go.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Actually, I don't know. I can't say anything right now because I'm not sure about this week. So
we'll see. The next game we both hold near and dear to our hearts, Eagles game. And the Eagles, I mean, we both, being Eagles fans, we tried to keep faith. We both picked them against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And that was a dumb pick for both of us. We both know it was. And looking back on it, I mean, I don't know why we both picked the Eagles. We shouldn't have had faith in them. Because they shouldn't have been in the playoffs.
No, not at all. And yeah. That's what I was saying earlier. I was like, I didn't really go. I theoretically, I went 4-for-6, but in reality, I was only 4-for-5 because the Eagles game doesn't count, because no self-respecting Eagles fan would pick against the Eagles in the playoffs.
Yeah.
No matter who the Eagles were playing, the Eagles could have played the 2007 Patriots or the 72 Dolphins in the playoffs, and I still would have picked the Eagles this year. So in all reality, when you think about it, I was 4-for-5.
You were not 4-for-5, and you need to stop saying that. But, you know, it was an ugly game all around. I don't know how much we want to talk about it because it's kind of depressing for both of us. But Jalen Hurts couldn't read anything. I mean, Quez Watkins did a little double move on a defender. I think it was Jamel Dean, got wide open, would have been a touchdown. Hurts just doesn't even look his way. And that play led, I think it was either an incompletion.
It was a really good play by Joe Tryon. And it was an all right offensive play when I didn't see Quez Watkins. I was like, oh yeah, Jalen was looking at for the first down. It was just a better play by the defense. Okay, I'm cool with that third down, not conversion. And then I see that Quez Watkins is wide open down the field on the replay. And Jalen Hurts could have completely, like, easily hit him if he didn't roll out of the pocket, which he wasn't that pressured. So that was an awful, awful break. That would have made it 7-7, and maybe Tampa would have, like, maybe the Eagles would have fought more if they had gotten that score, but they didn't score until, what, like, the halfway through the fourth?
Yeah, we didn't move the ball at all in the first half. Like, we had, like,
or the second half.
Hardly any yards. We did in the fourth quarter once, you know, they stopped trying. Garbage time yards. But it was one of the ugliest games I've ever seen until the fourth quarter. It was just like, and, you know, Tampa Bay didn't even look, they looked dominant, but that, you know, they're not that good of a team with all these injuries.
Like, I agree.
I mean, they're a good team. They have the GOAT on them, you know, Tom Brady, but, you know, it was a game that, you know, a slightly better team than the Eagles probably maybe could have won. And the Eagles just totally
I don't know about slightly better, because the Eagles are top 10 pick caliber.
I don't know. When the Eagles play at their best, I think that they're slightly worse than a banged up Buccaneers team.
The Eagles were never built to win in the playoffs, because to win in the playoffs, you need a superstar quarterback, or at least a quarterback that won't lose you games.
That's true. But also, like, why are we not running the ball more in the first quarter? We tried to run the ball.
They stacked the box. They made Jalen Hurts throw, and he can't.
Okay, yeah, but you can stack the box and still find creative ways to move the ball on offense.
They do just really dumb running plays.
Yeah, Sirianni, like, and Hurts just could not get anything going. Collectively, they couldn't call good plays, couldn't move the ball. Hurts was inaccurate. He was awful, missing reads, couldn't read the defense. And yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk much more about it, except the one more thing I want to say, Jalen Reagor's off the team. Jalen Reagor's off. He yeah. better be off the team.
Yeah. I don't think they will, because I think there's a cap hit if they get rid of him, but I think he should be.
I think if he's not off the team, he's on extremely thin ice, and he's going to have to start playing like a superstar if he wants to stay with us any longer than that. Cause that was just brutal. I mean, he's hardly touching the ball how it is, and then he muffs the punt.
So annoying.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. Yeah. Bad game. We'll see how the Bucks do against the Rams. I guess we'll talk about that in our predictions a little bit later in the episode. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they do. Next game, we already talked about it a little bit. Niners versus Cowboys. I had the Cowboys winning this one. You had the Niners winning this one. I'll let you talk first because you're a big Niners guy, and I'll give it to you. They won this one. So yeah, you go first. You were right. And yeah, I want to hear you talk about this game.
Dallas had not beaten a single team, not a single team because they had 12 wins, but Dallas had not beaten a single good team all year. The only decent team that they beat all season was New England, who I think we also just established that they got all their wins beating up on bad teams too. So you kind of just saw it with Dallas that, at least I did, that the wheels would fall off sooner rather than later, where I just didn't think they had it in the playoffs. You know what I mean? They seem to kind of fall apart a little bit every time they had to play a real team. They lost to Arizona, who also turned out to be a playoff pretender. But we'll get to that one next. But Dallas just didn't have that kind of, like, they had all this star power, Trayvon Diggs, Micah Parsons, Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, and so on. And they didn't play well enough. They just never seemed to play up to their talent, except against bad teams like the Eagles or Washington. So whereas the Niners beat a couple good teams all year. They beat the Rams twice. They beat the Bengals, and then they ended up being Dallas, who, you, even though I just said that their Dallas was a faker, they still won 12 games. They were still a clearly very talented team. So I'd say that's an accomplishment. And the Niners, they seemed to show up and they had the mental fortitude that they needed to win in the playoffs. Whereas I don't think Dallas did.
Fair take. I think Dallas is the better team. I still do. And one thing I want to say is that you are right. Dallas hasn't really beaten these great teams. They, you know, the couple times they played these great teams, you know, the two examples I can think of are the most recent ones when they played the Cardinals late season. And then when, you know, this week when they played the Niners and lost, it seemed to me like the Cowboys kind of got things moving and got things figured out too late. It's like they were playing a five quarter game, or they were trying to play a five quarter game. And, you know, there's only four quarters, so that, you know, they ran out of time to make a comeback. In both games, they were one score away from winning the game. They just started way too late. And I think that's their issue. You know, they don't get things going. They don't get their offense moving. Trayvon Diggs is a liability in coverage. I mean, no, I hate saying
stop,
that.
Stop.
He Brandon Ayuk was,
that is way too harsh of a statement.
I'm just saying, no, I know it's harsh, but you know, he can't keep jumping the ball. Like he goes for the ball, and you know, fast guys who run great routes are just going to run right around him and get big yardage. And Brandon Ayuk looked great.
Did look like the first, you know, who he went a few picks after.
Let's not talk about this.
And you know who went a few picks, who went one pick before that guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. but yeah, maybe liability is it's a strong word, but in that game, I mean, you cannot be letting Brandon Ayuk just get wide open on all these plays. Well,
you can when Jimmy Garoppolo is throwing the ball.
I'm just saying, man.
That was one of the best routes I've seen in a while, and Jimmy just completely overthrew it. Jimmy also had one interception that was a complete gift to Dallas. Guy was wide open a few yards in front of him, and Jimmy was throwing it on the run, went right over the receiver's head, right into the Dallas guy's hands.
Okay, well, we know Jimmy G isn't the best quarterback in the league. You know, that's a given. I mean, we knew that, but he played pretty well. You got to give him credit. Besides those two plays,
yeah,
he looked good.
He was all right. He
looked good. Yeah, he's not great, but, you know, for a Jimmy G game, that wasn't bad at all, and he got the win, so I'll give it to him. On defense, though, the Niners had some injuries in that game. You know, Nick Bosa went down.
I know Bosa is playing this week, but yeah. I'm not sure on Fred Warner's status.
Yeah, Warner was the big one. I mean, for me at least, seeing him go down was bad.
They
still found a way to get the win. But, you know, just losing either of those two guys is really not good for your defense. know, those two guys are the heart and soul of your defense.
Yeah.
So, and you know, monitoring both of those guys' progress throughout this week is going to be huge for Niners fans and for
they're both playing. They're both playing.
Yeah. I mean, I would assume so, but you know, if they're not, even if they're not 100%, you know, that's a big knock because those two guys really hold the defense together. But you know, like, yeah, like I said, I mean, I think the Cowboys are a better team, but Niners played better and they deserve to win. And, you know, good for you. You got it right. We'll see how much more the Niners can take. Green Bay is going to be a tough matchup. So we'll have to see about that one.
There is no way they win.
Yeah. Yeah. But we'll have to see. I mean, Raheem Mostert comes back, puts up another 200-yard game. Who knows? Okay. The next game. Steelers versus Chiefs. This was the only game that we both had as a lock. And yeah, I mean, 42-21 Chiefs. The Chiefs had a very slow start, but in 12 minutes, Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs scored 5 touchdowns. So yeah, I mean, there was no stopping them once they figured things out. Mahomes, over 400 passing yards, 5 passing touchdowns. He was great, not quite as good as Josh Allen, but he was near perfect. That's going to be a very interesting matchup this week. I'm excited for that.
I'll give the Steelers this. They made it fun for the first quarter and few minutes-ish when they got the fumble recovery for a touchdown, and they were kind of holding Kansas City there for a little while. And I think that was just the most they could have done. That took so much effort. They just couldn't compete. Their offense was completely anemic, run by Big Ben, who Big Ben is not a pretty send-off for Big Ben. And although I don't know how much better they'll be next year with Mason Rudolph at quarterback unless they trade for someone, because I don't think they'll be able to get Kenny Pickett. I don't think he'll fall to them. And I don't know that they'll get someone like a Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson. So
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers isn't going anywhere, if you ask me. At this moment, I don't believe Aaron Rodgers is going anywhere. That would change after tomorrow.
But if they win
tomorrow, he's staying there.
If they win the Super Bowl, he's staying there. If not, I think it's very possible
he. You think he's gone?
I don't know. Well, we'll have to see. This is a talk for another episode. But yeah, like you said, I think the Steelers, you know, did the best they could in that game. Yeah, it was pretty exciting at first. That TJ Watt touchdown was, you know, I was actually a little excited there.
No, I don't know. I don't know that you can call it exciting because you knew what was going to happen at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were just like, why hasn't it happened yet?
True. But in that game, Big Ben passed Brett Favre and Joe Montana in playoff passing yards, which is kind of crazy.
Really?
But when you think about it, the Steelers make the playoffs a lot, even when they shouldn't, or even when they're not that good of a team, like this year. You know, I wouldn't hold that record, you know, too highly in regard. I think Joe Montana and Brett Favre are better quarterbacks than Big Ben is, and that's not even a debate. So,
yeah.
But, you know, like we said, that game was our only lock, and I think the Chiefs do have a chance at winning the Super Bowl. We'll have to see. Like I said, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But let's get into our last game, Cardinals versus Rams. You picked the Cardinals in this one. I picked the Rams. I'm very high on the Rams, so I'm going to start. Kyler Murray looked awful. Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury just they didn't know what they were doing. The inexperience really showed in this game. And Sean McVay, just defensively, they won the game in the first, you know, quarter and a half just by what the defense was doing. They were pressuring all their guys. Aaron Donald just getting in the face of Kyler Murray. The secondary was just playing perfect coverage on all of the Cardinals, you know, receivers. Zach Ertz wasn't getting open at all until, you know, mid third quarter. Cardinals just couldn't do anything. And I think a lot of the blame should go on Kyler. He didn't play very well, but I think I would say
a lot.
I think first off, Cliff Kingsbury coached an awful game. He set it up so the Cardinals couldn't really get anything going. And then Kyler had maybe his worst career game ever. So
yeah,
those two things combined was what did it. But, you know, you've been talking a lot about how you think Matt Stafford isn't good in the clutch.
Have a chance to choke this one away, though.
No, but I'm just saying, I said last week how I think that the Rams and Sean McVay are going to play it safe. Sean McVay is going to, you know, call easy plays, not going to let Stafford throw these risky balls downfield. And I saw a lot of that. You know, Stafford was just throwing a lot of dump offs, getting the ball to Cam Akers, you know, handing off to Cam Akers and Sony Michel, moving the ball effectively but safely. And if the Rams continue to do that on offense and on defense, just continue to safely play football, then I think that they're going to go far. You know, they looked really good, and I think a lot of people were surprised at how good they looked. But I want to hear your insight on this game.
Matt Stafford has had his career low in passing attempts when you exclude games he left in injuries. Sean McVay was not letting him mess that up, which even if he played like Nathan Peterman in that game against, what was it, the Raiders? I think it was the Raiders. Or no, Chargers. It was Chargers.
I'm getting confused
because he played for the Raiders. Anyway, even if Matt Stafford played like Nathan Peterman against the Chargers, they still would have won by multiple scores. There was nothing Matt Stafford could have done to mess that game up because the Arizona Cardinals played like a high school team. They just couldn't get anything done. None of their receivers were getting open. The run game wasn't working. Kyler Murray's rolling out wasn't working. And Kyler Murray, on the one play where he was getting sacked in the end zone, it would have been a safety, but instead he threw it up into the air, and Rams defender, I think it was David Long, maybe Troy Hill. Anyway,
I think it was Long, but I can't remember.
Anyway, it went right into the Rams defender's hands, and he took it for a touchdown, which took it for a touchdown, meaning he walked in 2 yards out of the end zone.
2 yards, yeah.
And it was something you've seen my man Carson Wentz do this season, and your boy Matt Stafford. Both of them have done that same idiotic thing all this season. Not all season, this season. But I don't know that Cliff Kingsbury is the guy for Arizona. His offense is just too simplistic. We've seen that all year. I've mentioned it before. With the personnel they have, they should be getting a lot more creative, and you just don't see it from them. A lot of it is just you have to rely on the heroics from Kyler Murray, which Kyler Murray might not be that MVP caliber quarterback we thought he was. I think Kyler Murray might need a little more help than a lot of people originally thought. So I don't know that Kingsbury is the guy. I think this year you probably keep him along for one more year, but then you start to look at and see if the grass is greener. And I think the grass is going to be greener for the Cardinals. So I don't know how far they'll go next year, but I think that if they get a guy that can make Kyler Murray an MVP, which he has the talent to do so, then they can go as far as they want in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think Cliff Kingsbury is not good at all. I don't think he's a good coach. In college, he wasn't even that good of a coach, you know. At Texas, you know, Texas Tech, he had a tough time. He had a sub 500 record at Texas Tech
with Patrick Mahomes, 13-19 with Patrick Mahomes. That is awful.
So I mean, yeah, I don't think Cliff Kingsbury is the guy. Like you said, I think Kyler will have more chances at playoff run. I think he'll play better, especially if they get a different coach. But I feel kind of bad for him. Just nothing fell right for the Cardinals. And Buda Baker injury was so scary. I thought I was, you know, everyone was praying for him. Luckily, it seems like he'll be fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was a scary injury. So doesn't help when you lose your best defensive player midway through the game, pretty much. So, yeah, there's that.
Like, to me, the game just kind of seemed like one of those things where it's like, it's a kid playing basketball in the backyard with his father. And his father is obviously like way more adept at the sport than he is. It's like a little kid I'm talking. Mm-hmm. But like the dad this time is not pulling any punches. You know what I'm saying? He's annihilating this kid. And the kid obviously can't do anything because he's completely outclassed in skill by the father. And that's just what that game felt like. Like no matter what the Cardinals tried, there was no way they could have won.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. That's a good analogy. It was just an ugly game. And I just want to say, though, I mean, I know you said Matt Stafford, even if he played like Nathan Peterman, they still would have won. I just want to say Matt Stafford was the third best quarterback in Super Wildcard Weekend. He was. He was the behind Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes. No. Matt Stafford had the third best game. No. Yeah.
How can you say that when Joe Burrow won the game?
Joe Burrow played great, but Matt Stafford played better than Joe Burrow.
Matt Stafford threw the least amount of passes in his whole career.
I know. Did you see the passes he threw? He threw some nice ones.
Well, that's what we're doing now. Oh, he threw some nice dump-offs.
They weren't dump-offs. That's he had that one nice now. Throw to Van Jefferson. He had a couple nice throws to Cooper Kupp. He played pretty well. I mean, Joe Burrow also played well, but Joe Burrow could not convert at the goal line. It wasn't totally his fault.
The best pass of the game was made by a wide receiver.
That's not true. Odell's pass wasn't even that great. It was a couple yards underthrown. Anyway, still, Matt Stafford played a great game. I just want to say, you need to give him some credit, okay? I get your argument. I get why you're saying that he probably is going
to
fold.
It's just asinine to suggest that he played better than Joe Burrow.
It's not. He did.
He didn't have to do anything.
Yes, he did have to do it. Okay, his whole team around him played great. So, yeah, he didn't have to put the team on his back. But in terms of play and the quality of his passes, he was the third best quarterback in Super Wildcard Weekend.
He was not.
He was.
I'll give him fourth, but only because the other guys stunk.
I don't know about that. I think he played a better game than Joe Burrow. But anyway, that's besides the point.
Derek Carr might have had a better game.
No. Derek Carr was had a good game, but not better.
I'm only saying that because Derek Carr actually had to like play at his best to win that game. Matt Stafford was on cruise control the whole time. I will happily give Matt Stafford his credit if I'm proven wrong, but I have yet to be proven wrong by him. The other guys actively hurt their team. Big Ben did, Dak did, Jalen Hurts did, Mac Jones did. Even Jimmy Garoppolo had some pretty bad plays. But Derek Carr, I think you can maybe switch him and Stafford. But Joe Burrow is comfortably third best quarterback this weekend.
No. I just disagree. I think – no, I watched both games. I will admit, the Bengals game I didn't get to finish. I didn't see the ending until a couple nights later when I watched it again on NFL Network. But, you know, so I only saw three quarters pretty much live. I saw the full Rams game. So I guess, you know, you have to take that into perspective. But I do think Stafford played a slightly better game than Joe Burrow did. But, you know, that's besides the point. Let's not argue about that anymore. Let's just get into our divisional round predictions because, you know, we want to save some time for that. That's a pretty big thing that we got to do. First game, Bengals versus Titans. I say let's do kind of what we did with this. Let's both just argue. And just talk about each game together collectively, Alex. Let's just do that. Bengals versus Titans. Okay, I know we have differing opinions on this. I'm going to say I got the Bengals in this one.
Jeez.
I got the Bengals in this one. And, you know, just the Titans are a good team, but I don't think that they're as good as the Bengals. I'm going to be honest. I think the Titans have had a very easy record. They've had some luck against some of the better teams that they played in their schedule. I don't think Derrick Henry returning is enough for them to beat any of the teams remaining in the playoffs. I think the Titans would lose to every other team in the playoffs, and I think they'll lose to the Bengals. That's just my opinion. I know everyone else disagrees with me, but yeah. What's your opinion, Alex?
My opinion is that they beat four playoff teams this year, including Buffalo, Kansas City, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, meaning, you know, they've beaten good teams all year. And granted, some of those were with Derrick Henry. They beat Buffalo and Kansas City with Derrick Henry, which, I mean, it doesn't matter because they have Derrick Henry back. Derrick Henry is the engine of that offense. The offense has been putting up points even without Derrick Henry the last couple weeks, granted against some poor teams like Miami and Houston. But still, the offense has been decent without Derrick Henry, who is one of the premier offensive weapons in this league, and they get him back to play. Like, I don't know. It's just Tennessee has proven me wrong all year. I've been down on Tennessee the same way you have all year, and Tennessee has just consistently proven me wrong. And I think now I'm finally going to give them their credit, and I think they're going to beat Cincinnati because Cincinnati just, they don't feel like they're going to go deep this year. You know what I mean? It just, I don't think Cincinnati has what it takes to go to the AFC championship game. And especially playing against the one seed with an offense like Tennessee's when they have Derrick Henry, which they do now, it's just, I feel like Tennessee's the better team and they're going to score a bunch of points. It will be close because Tennessee might be rusty getting Derrick Henry back, but I think it'll still be a 7-10 point victory for Tennessee.
I could see that. I think that's the consensus opinion. And as the number one, you know, overall seed, obviously people would think that they're going to win. I just think that, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, I think the Bengals have a better offense than the Titans when they're hot. And I think they're going to stay hot in this one.
They Titans, were hot the first round, though. What do you mean stay hot?
Stay hot. They've been great pretty much the last 4 or 5
weeks. They haven't. They scored 23 points. They didn't score a touchdown in the second half.
You mean against the Raiders? They scored 26. And also, yeah, they couldn't convert score. They couldn't convert touchdowns. They had an issue with that. But they won when it mattered. Like you said, Joe Burrow played a great game. Chase played phenomenal. He was probably one of the main reasons why they won that game. I don't know. I don't think the Titans defense is anything too crazy. It's not bad. It's been much better this year than I thought it would be. But I think the Bengals offense is just too overpowering if they stay hot. And I think the Bengals defense is going to, you know, get things done against Derrick Henry and against that Titans offense. It may be a close game, but I am taking Joe Burrow over Ryan Tannehill in this one. I am.
I agree on that take in the sense that Joe Burrow is better than Ryan Tannehill, but Joe Mixon is not better than Derrick Henry. Ja'Marr Chase and A.J. Brown, I think you could put on equal categories at this current moment. And, I mean, T. Higgins is over Julio Jones, but at that point, you know, what are we arguing?
And Bengals defense is better than the Titans defense.
Not by much, if at all.
By enough. But coaching wise, I will give the edge to the Titans. So, like I said, I mean, this is, you know, it's going to be a close one. I think it'll be a close one.
I do agree.
But we have flip flopped on who's going to win. It'll be cool to see who's going to win this one. I think we both have some valid arguments there. And we'll just have to see which, you know, prediction holds true. Next game, we already alluded to this a little bit. Niners versus Packers. You love the Niners. I am starting to be a little bit higher on the Niners after they went and, you know, beat Dallas, who I thought was, you know, potentially going to be a team who we could see in the NFC Championship game. So Niners versus Packers. I just can't pick any, you know, it's hard to pick any team against the Packers right now. And I don't think I can pick the Niners in this one, even if the Niners play a perfect game. You know, you're playing against Aaron Rodgers. So, yeah, I think the Packers are going to win this one by 3-10 points, something like that. And it shouldn't be too hard for them. If everyone shows up, you know, Za'Darius Smith is now active. I don't know if they're getting Jair back. But, you know, even if they don't, that defense isn't horrible. It's not great. It's probably around average, I would say.
No, Green Bay definitely has a good defense.
Not really. I mean, it's ranked a little bit below average, but they've had a lot of injuries. So I would say it's around average. But the offense is the number one scoring offense in the league this year, or the number two. It's around there. With Aaron Rodgers throwing you the ball, you can't go wrong. So, you know, if he gets the ball to Devontae Adams, if they can establish a run game with Dylan and Aaron Jones, they're going to win this game. That's just how I feel about it.
I got to agree with you. Like you said, I've been high on the Niners all year, but I've also been equally high on the Packers all year. And it's going to be annoying to see one of those two teams, you know, get eliminated tomorrow. But when I say one of those two teams, I mean the Niners. The Niners just can't keep up with the Packers. Even though the Niners have a very good offense and the Niners do come up big in big games with Deebo Samuel and all, the Packers are going to torch their defense, I feel, and they're going to do enough on defense to make it a 10-13 point win to me. I don't know that there's a lot to talk about because it is a one seed versus a six seed for a reason. Mm-hmm. And Green Bay has been the best team all year, if you ask me. So I don't feel right picking anybody but Green Bay.
Next game, Rams versus Buccaneers. This one I'm excited for, 4 seed versus a 2 seed. Alex, do you want to talk about this one a little bit?
Yeah, I've been low on the Rams all year, and especially low on Matt Stafford, especially when it comes to the clutch games, the big games. But I, after what I saw on Saturday, or no, it was Sunday, with the Buccaneers against the Eagles, I just don't think the Buccaneers are good enough to beat the Rams. Well, having seen, having saw what I saw on Monday too, the Rams just look intimidating on defense. That defense is suffocating. And Tampa just doesn't look good enough to me to beat the Rams. Yes, they destroyed the Eagles, but we already made it clear that the Eagles were not a playoff team. And like, the Eagles were not a good team, period. And that once you stop their run game by stacking the box, they couldn't do anything. So the Rams are not that one-dimensional on offense, especially with the return of Cam Akers, plus guys like Sony Michel and Daryl Henderson. Is Daryl Henderson playing?
I don't think so. Maybe. I think
if he's active, he's not playing a lot. Anyway.
Yeah.
So guys like Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson, they're very capable of running the game, running the ball and winning you games like that. Cam Akers has won you multiple games last season, especially in the playoffs against Seattle, that he can win you games like that on the ground, even when they had Jared Goff at quarterback. And Matt Stafford is in a whole nother league compared to Jared Goff, as much as I don't like Matt Stafford, or don't trust Matt Stafford, I should say. And I think that Tampa isn't good enough to beat a team that was as dominant like the Rams were on Monday. Although you can't count out Tom Brady. I'll make that clear.
Mm. I agree with you there. Like you said, the Rams defense is just so suffocating. We saw it against the Cardinals. Kyler could not get anything going and he played bad. The offensive, you know, game plan was bad. Coaching was bad, but still, you know, even then the Rams defense was just so suffocating, and Mike Evans and Gronk are not going to have it as easy as they did against the Eagles. Ramsey's going to be on them. You know, the Rams have so many good defenders. There's just no chance that you know, Mike Evans or Gronk are going to break out for, you know, giant gains. Wow. You know, Mike Evans is not going to be open for a 40-yard touchdown probably against that Rams defense. So I think it's going to be a lot harder for the Bucs to get the win. And I don't think Brady alone is enough for the Bucs to get the win. The whole team, you know, the offensive line hasn't been as good as it was last year. Some injuries on the offensive line too. You know, we saw Tristan Wirfs had that injury. So things like that could definitely impact the game. On defense, a lot of injuries. The secondary has been pretty bad this year. I don't see a way that the Bucs win this game. They're going to put up a fight, but the Rams are the better team in my opinion. And I think the Rams are going to go far. So I have them in this one as well. And last game let's talk about is, or last game, at least for this divisional round, is Bills versus Chiefs. And I think I, you know, am speaking for everyone when I say that this is probably the most exciting game of this divisional round.
Yeah.
Just due to how good these young quarterbacks are. You know, this is like, you know, I watched last night, I watched a Marino versus Elway, 1998 game on YouTube just cause I was bored. And, you know, this is that type of matchup, you know.
Well, that was towards the end of Marino, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it was towards the end of both of them. But I'm just saying, yeah. Like, this is one of those matchups where it's like, you know, these two quarterbacks in like 20 years, kids are going to be going on YouTube and watching Mahomes versus Allen. That's how I feel about it, because they're both just that good. And, you know, this is an interesting game because the Chiefs and the Bills have played each other three times during – when both of these quarterbacks have been starting. The Chiefs won their first two games. They won the AFC Championship game. But then this year, the Bills beat the Chiefs 38-20, not even close.
No.
That was around midseason when the Chiefs were going through their slump. But still, that's something to note. So the Bills can beat the Chiefs. I have the Chiefs in this one. And I think it just comes down to more playoff experience. When I look at both teams all around and I take away the quarterback position, I think the Chiefs are a little bit better than the Bills are. And then I think Mahomes has a very slight edge over Josh Allen. I also like Andy Reid a little bit better than Sean McDermott. I think the Chiefs are more prepared for this game than the Bills are. I think Allen will put up a fight. I think he'll play very well, probably have a 3-touchdown game over 300 yards, but I think it'll be like a 38-31 Chiefs win. That's just my opinion on this one.
I think to me, it comes down to which team can turn it on better this game. Both teams have been kind of inconsistent this year on offense, and the same can be said about the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks have had some less than fun moments this year, and I don't know. I want to pick Buffalo because I like Josh Allen better. Like as a fan, not that he's better than Mahomes, but
yeah.
I think I like Buffalo's defense better than the Chiefs' defense. So mm-hmm. You know what?
I agree with that.
I'll go with the Rams because the Rams. I'll go with. I'll go with the Bills. I'll go with the Bills because I think the Bills are more of a well-rounded team. I think they can run the ball better than Kansas City can. And I think that the gap between their passing offenses is not as large as it would need to be for Kansas City to win in a shootout fashion where they win by simply passing the ball. I think the Bills are going to take this one.
I actually disagree with you about the running comment. I think Clyde's going to be back. I don't like Clyde. I've made it clear. I'm a Clyde hater. But Clyde's going to be back. Daryl Williams, is he hurt?
No, he's playing.
He's playing? Okay. And you saw, you know, last week, Jerick McKinnon with fresh legs looks like prime Todd Gurley.
So. Against the Steelers, though.
I don't care. The Steelers defense is pretty good. Don't discredit the Steelers defense.
The Steelers it's Big Ben in the offense. Down a million points in the playoffs. Like, they want to go home.
That's true, but I'm just saying, I think that the Chiefs have a more well-rounded run game than the Bills do. I get that Singletary's been hot recently, but I don't think that's enough. You know, Singletary and Allen running the ball, I take Mahomes, Daryl Williams, McKinnon, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire in their rushing attack over the Bills. But other than that, I do agree the defense is better. I do agree it'll be whichever team could turn on the fastest, and both teams have been so inconsistent that that's why it's so exciting, because you just have no idea what's going to happen. Yeah. But I think whichever team wins this game is going to be the team that makes the Super Bowl in the AFC. And I think
I agree. You know, I agree.
Bengals and Titans
in the AFC.
Yeah, no disrespect to the Bengals and Titans, but neither of them are good enough to beat the Bills or Chiefs in the playoffs. And I think that's just what it comes down to. Let's just quickly, we're running out of time, but quickly, have your Super Bowl predictions changed at all, Alex, or do you still stand by your original prediction?
Buffalo Green Bay, which is different from my Kansas City Green Bay pick from last week.
Nice. So I still have Kansas City versus the Rams, and I know that's crazy, but, you know, if the Rams win this week and the Packers win, which I think it'll happen, then, you know, they just need to get through the Packers to make it, which is pretty hard. But
need to get
through. I'm just saying, Aaron Rodgers loves losing these NFC championship games. He loves losing them.
So. Fair. Matt Stafford does not like winning playoff games, historically.
Like you said, I mean, he had the least amount of pass attempts out of any game besides the ones he's been injured. So if they keep doing that, don't let Stafford throw these dumb passes.
You're maybe not going to play the Cardinals every game.
That's true, but they're going to play an injured Bucs team and then a Packers team. I'm not going to talk about the Packers. That's going to be a tough game. Who knows? Who knows? But I'm just saying, I'm sticking by my prediction. I think the Chiefs are at least going to make it. The Rams is a little bit of a crazy pick, but I'm sticking by it. It was my beginning of the season pick, and I like them a lot. I think McVay's going to really rally them into that Super Bowl spot. And I think the Chiefs are ultimately going to win. Mahomes is going to get a second ring. You had the Packers originally winning, right?
No, actually, before week one, I had the Bills winning it all.
Okay.
I looked at my notes from the original one.
No, but I'm saying like last week. Like what?
Since like week four or five, I've had the Packers winning the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And that hasn't changed for me.
So you still have the Packers?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if they win, I don't think Rodgers is leaving. So, I mean, I think the whole city of Green Bay is hoping that Rodgers and the Packers can get it done this year. So they
Aaron
can
keep Rodgers. No, I think even if he wins the Super Bowl, he'll be coming to Philadelphia anyway.
Yeah, he'll be coming to Philly. But he's going to be the backup because Hurts is obviously the QB.
Oh, yeah, he's the future. He's the franchise.
He is the franchise, and he's earned that spot as the starter next year. So, anyway,
I'll tell you what, if this 2022 quarterback class was as good as the 2023 quarterback class, Jalen Hurts would not be talked about as the Eagles next year starting quarterback.
I don't know, he
is lucky that the quarterback class this year isn't any good.
Our front office is awful. Like they'll just say stuff like last year when Wentz was playing awful, they were like, oh yeah, we're still sticking with Wentz.
They did.
Remember they just benched him.
Yeah. All right, anyway, like,
you know, anyway, that's enough about the Eagles, and that's enough. But that's the episode. I hope you enjoyed. Some bold predictions, a lot of good debate this week. I think both of us raised some good points, and you know, even if one of us is wrong, I think, you know, we analyze these games pretty well. So it's just going to be fun to sit back, watch, relax, and see, you know, Eagles are out of the playoffs now. So, you know, as
now,
a fan,
now we can actually finally have fun watching the playoffs.
Exactly. We can finally watch good teams and have fun. So yeah, it'll be interesting. Like I said, that Bills Chiefs game is going to be really exciting. Can't believe they saved it for the last game, but yeah. Thanks for listening and watching. I hope you enjoyed, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.